The sound of the heavy oak doors clicking shut behind the last waiter was the final nail. Click. A clean, expensive sound that signaled the end of the public performance and the beginning of the private execution. I was still holding the champagne flute, the crystal cold against my palm, my knuckles white enough to match the tablecloths. The ballroom of the Pierre was a graveyard of celebration, half-eaten lobster thermidor, crumpled silk napkins, and the lingering, suffocating scent of lilies and ego. He was standing by the floor-to-ceiling windows, looking out at the Manhattan skyline like he owned the grid, which in the world of high-frequency trading he practically did. Arthur Vance, vice president of Alpha Stream Quant, the man who had just spent 20 minutes telling 300 people that I was the future of the firm. He hadn't looked at me once during the toast. He looked at the room, selling them a version of me that was profitable, polished, and most importantly, his. I'm 29. I've spent the last 6 years sleeping 4 hours a night, vibrating on a diet of black coffee and Adderall, staring at sub-millisecond latency fluctuations until my retinas felt like they were peeling. I earned that promotion. I built the Hydra algorithm from a skeleton of failed code and turned it into a monster that ate the market for breakfast. But as I stood there in the silence, the hypervigilance that makes me a god at a trading terminal started screaming in my ear. My skin felt too tight. The air in the room felt ionized, like the moments before a lightning strike. I watched his reflection in the glass. He wasn't moving. He was waiting for the silence to do the heavy lifting for him. "You think you're a partner now, don't you, Elena?" He didn't turn around when he spoke. His voice was smooth, a low-frequency hum that bypassed my ears and went straight to my nervous system. I didn't answer. I couldn't. My throat felt like it was lined with glass. I took a sip of the champagne, but it tasted like copper. He finally turned, his face illuminated by the flickering digital ticker on the wall behind him, green numbers scrolling across his skin like a virus. He looked at me with a kind of clinical curiosity, the way a biologist looks at a specimen that has finally outlived its usefulness. "The toast was a nice touch," I managed to say, my voice sounding like it belonged to someone else. Someone braver. Someone who wasn't currently calculating the distance to the exit. He laughed, a short, sharp sound that had zero warmth in it. "The toast was for the board, Elena. It was to ensure that when the Hydra revenue starts hitting the quarterly reports, they associate that success with my leadership, not your late nights. But we have a problem. A small nagging little discrepancy in the June compliance filings." The glass in my hand trembled. Just a fraction of a millimeter. To anyone else, it was nothing. To a man who lives in the world of nanoseconds, it was a confession. I knew exactly what he was talking about. 3 years ago, when I was a junior associate, desperate to close my first major data licensing deal, I had bypassed a signature from a recalcitrant compliance officer who was on vacation. I had forged it, a minor wet ink formality on a document that nobody ever looked at, or so I thought. I had buried it, or I thought I had. But looking at Arthur's eyes, I realized he hadn't just found it. He had been holding it. He'd been keeping it in his pocket like a lucky coin, waiting for the day I became valuable enough to blackmail. "The point of no return isn't a cliff you jump off. It's a room you realize you can't leave." If he reported that forgery, my Series 7 license was gone. My career was gone. But more importantly, the medical insurance that was currently keeping my father in a private neurological facility in Connecticut would vanish. Without Alpha Stream's executive health plan, he'd be moved to a state ward within 48 hours. Arthur knew that. He knew about the bills. He knew about the forgery. He had done the math before he ever stepped on that podium. He walked toward me, his steps silent on the thick carpet. He stopped so close I could see the individual silver threads in his tie. He reached out and adjusted the lapel of my blazer, his fingers lingering just a second too long near my throat. "You're going to give me the backdoor keys to the Hydra source code," he whispered. "Not the version we give the firm. The raw, unfiltered logic. I have a private fund in the Caymans that needs a little bit of that Hydra magic to overcome some recent underperformance." This was it. The entanglement, He wasn't just asking for a favor. He was asking me to help him embezzle from the firm using the algorithm I had birthed. He was asking me to become a ghost in the machine. I looked at him, and for a second, I felt a wave of pure, cold dissociation. I wasn't Elena anymore. I was a series of data points. I was a risk-reward ratio that had just turned deeply, irrevocably red. I saw the way his signet ring caught the light, a heavy gold band with his family crest. It looked like a brass knuckle. "What if I refuse?" I asked. The words felt heavy, like lead weights. He smiled then. It was the most terrifying thing I had ever seen. "If you refuse, I hand the June filings to the SEC tomorrow morning. You'll be barred from the industry for life. Your father will be in a municipal bed by Friday. And I'll tell the board that I discovered your Hydra code was actually a derivative of a stolen proprietary string from our competitors. You'll be the girl who cheated to get ahead and failed." The hypervigilance kicked into overdrive. I could hear the hum of the HVAC system. I could hear the distant siren on Fifth Avenue. I could hear my own heart, a frantic, stuttering beat that felt like it was trying to escape my chest. My mind started looping. June filings, Cayman's fund, Connecticut medical bills, Hydra source code. I was trapped in a logic gate with no exit command. I looked at the promoted plaque sitting on the table next to me. It looked like a tombstone. He leaned in closer, his breath smelling of expensive bourbon and cold calculations. "You should be happy, Elena. Most people spend their whole lives looking for a way to be indispensable. I've just made you essential to my survival. And in return, I'll make sure you're the highest paid revelation in the history of this firm. Just smile. Keep the code running, and don't ever, ever think you're in control again." He patted my cheek, a light patronizing tap that felt like a brand. Then he turned and walked out of the ballroom, leaving me alone in the wreckage of my own success. I stood there for a long time, the silence growing teeth, biting into my skin. I looked down at my hands. They weren't shaking anymore. They were cold, dead. I walked over to the bar and poured another drink. Not champagne this time. Straight gin. It burned, but it wasn't enough to drown out the realization that I was now a functional captive in a glass tower. I looked at the NYC skyline. Those millions of lights representing millions of people who thought they were making choices. And I realized I was the only one who knew the truth. There are no choices. There is only the leverage you have and the leverage someone has over you. I took out my phone. I had a notification from the facility in Connecticut. A photo of my father sitting in the garden, looking at the trees. He looked peaceful. He looked safe. I deleted the notification. I opened my remote access app and looked at the Hydra terminal. The code was scrolling, beautiful and lethal. A digital predator I had created. I began to type. Not the backdoor code Arthur wanted. Not yet. I began to write a new script. A hidden subroutine that would mirror every trade his private fund made and alert me. If I was going down, I wasn't going alone. I was going to turn the Hydra into a suicide vest. I heard a noise behind me. The cleaning crew. I looked up and saw my reflection in the dark window. I didn't recognize the woman looking back. She looked older, harder. She was smiling, but her eyes were empty, like a house where the power had been cut. I adjusted my blazer, the same way Arthur had done. I straightened my shoulders. I had a meeting in 6 hours. I had a market to manipulate. I had a father to save. And I had a VP to destroy, even if I had to burn myself alive to do it. I walked out of the ballroom, the click of my heels on the marble sounding like a countdown. The party was over. The entanglement was just beginning.